time as we come before you, Holy Spirit will give you preeminence. We ask, O God, that even as our hearts are quieting down, we will hear the word of God, and may the word of God bring edification to the body of Christ as represented here. Father, bring those who are here, coming here safely. We thank you for all the visitors that are coming. Bless them, watch over them. And for those who are traveling overseas or will be joining us on YouTube, Lord, through the waves, speak to them, even though they cannot join us physically. For those who are not well, Lord, heal them, strengthen them. Those who are resting at home, bless them, encourage them. And for those who are traveling, Lord, be with them, journey mercy with them, even as they go abroad. So, Father, we commit this time to you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Thank you for being on time. We're going to just, hi, Eddie. We're going to ask Gunn to just come and share something. Joe told me, Joe looked so frightened when he came to me and said, I thought something happened. Joe came to me and said, I want to show you something. She came to me and said, Gun got 10 strikes. I said, don't worry, Gun is very short one. 10 strikes doesn't mean a thing. He'll finish in time. So can we just welcome Gun? He's going to share some things. Come.
Okay, yes, thank you. So yeah, I was asked to share about the our Oxford trip, right? So it was an amazing trip. The course was good, the trip was good. I enjoyed the program, and actually there's a lot to share. Today, I'm only given 10 minutes, so I'll just pick one of the topics that we learned. And downstream, if I have more time, or given more opportunity, then maybe I'll share the rest of it. But yeah, I just wanted I split my sharing into two parts, right? The first part is about the trip itself. On a lighter note, some of the fun hiccups, or I call them the unplanned adventures that we encounter. Just to stress, this is not a complaint session. on surface, they may not they may be negative incidents, but in fact, they're actually blessings for all three of us. And I'll explain why. So coming back, so the first part is about the trip itself. The second part is on one of the topics that we attended in the workshop, which is somewhat related to this adventure, right? Okay, episode one, in the beginning. So we were in London, right? So we needed to get to Oxford, right? So what do? We grab a cab, right? So simple, right? Get a cab. But interestingly, this cab driver was late. He got lost from the app. We could see that he was all over the place. So he was late. Long story short, he was late. But then when he finally arrived, he then tried to haggle with us, right? So he said, cancel, you know. Basically, he wanted us to pay him in cash. He said the platform is not paying him enough, so pay him in cash. So at this point of time, the three of us all together, we didn't have enough cash, right? But we were already late, so we said, okay, let's pull our money all together. And then we checked, and there was enough. So we said, okay, let's go. Okay, pay him in cash and put in our luggage and let's go, right? But that was not the end of the problem. As it turned out, this driver was quite slow, right? He was road hogging on the extreme right lane on the highway. So all the cars were zooming past us, horning at us. And I was sitting next to him, right? So I remember there was one vehicle that literally speed in front of us and even e-brake on us just to catch our attention. But our dear driver was unmoved, right? He was chill. He was just driving at his own pace. Anyway, long story short, because of the incidents, we were late and we missed our dinner appointment in Oxford. Yeah. Oh no, I need to go faster. So episode two, the house. So when we reach, this is the house that we booked. I should have taken the two house next to it, the picture. Then you have a better view in relative why. So when we saw the house, our first impression was, this cannot be the house that we booked. But after we checked, right, and we checked the picture and all, it turned out, yeah, it is the house. It's quite poorly maintained, that's why we couldn't believe. And I actually remember the door, there were a lot of spider webs, right? So it doesn't seem like anyone has stayed there before. So adding to the confusion, the PIN code that was given to us was incorrect. So we couldn't get into the house. So we tried to call the owner, right? The owner didn't reply. We tried to call the platform, no response. And because this was a late Saturday evening, right? So three of us, we were looking at each other, and three old men, right? We were thinking, maybe today we have to sleep under the stars already, right? But thank God, after a while, the owner finally replied. And as it turned out, she changed the PIN code in the morning. She didn't inform us, right? So we finally got into the house. Hey, episode 3. Maybe I should jump. Okay, the bathroom. So the first night, we couldn't figure out where was the hot water, so there was no hot water. Right. So, but luckily, Silas' room has a small toilet with an independent hot water heater. So the first night, all of us take turns to shower in his room. Just to give you an impression of how small it is. This is the one which I share with Daniel. So at that time, this has no hot water. The one in Silas' room was just between the window to the toilet bowl, about there, right? That space. And then it was just a curtain that cordoned off the area. And then there's still the roof, which is on a slope, right? So to shower, you basically need to half squat. You know, 站马步, right? Half squat. If not, all three are very tall, right? So we hit the roof. So you have to half squat. And then this heater, very interesting, has only two options, right? Power one, power two. So the power one, right? So they were quite kind, they let me shower first. So power one, when I shower, right? Turns out it was ice cold water. So when I put my head, right? My head shrunk by 5 cm. Then if power one is cold water, what do you do, right? You turn to power two, right? I mean, power one is cold water, power two must be hot water, right? So you switch to power two. So for the power two, yeah, perfect temperature, sure. But it only lasts for 5 seconds. After 5 seconds, it turned to boiling water. So imagine, the first part, my head shrunk by 5 cm, then after that, my head bao-zha, exploded. So it was one of my busiest shower ever, right? Think about this, I was squatting, half squat, right? Left hand, I had to switch, toggle between one and two. And then here, there's a curtain, keep flapping on my face, right? So I had to control. And then there's a shower. That's our day one shower. I don't know about them, how they shower, but that was me, right? Okay, sorry, moving on. Wow, this is important. Sorry, I'm taking too much time. The floor. So again, I mean, there's a lot of funny stories about the house, right? But the floor was one classic one. So the floor was badly maintained. Everywhere you walk, there's always squeaking sound. So for me, every time, every day after I shower, I just jump into my room. I don't want to move anymore. This is very noisy. And then you disturb Silas and Daniel, right? So in the evening, whenever I need to go to the toilet, I try to control. Because if you need to go to the toilet, the moment you step on the floor, you wake up everyone else, right? But there was a funny story, I think it was on day two, Daniel shared with us. So Daniel takes a supplement. So on that fateful day, he dropped his pill. And then hing hing, for those who don't know hing hing, lucky, right? It landed not on the left, not on the right, but right smack into the groove, right? It, of all places, it landed into the groove. So he was telling us normally when he drops the pill, he'll just take up and eat, right? He has a strong stomach, but in this particular case, he dropped my smack into a groove. He cannot pick it up anymore. So when he shared the story with us, initially, my first reaction was I was actually laughing, you know, inside my, but you know, control, I cannot laugh at someone else's misfortune. But thank God, after he shared with us, he was the first to laugh. So the moment he laughed, I laughed, then Silas also laughed. All three of us just laughed. Anyway, coming back, what's the moral of all these stories, right? So there's always two sides to a coin, right? All the issues that we encounter on this trip, you can either take it positively or you can choose to take it negatively, right? And for all of us, we actually took the former, right? We took it positively. As a matter of fact, in the industry where I come from, right, we actually try to advocate peer-to-peer learning. And one of the ways to do that is actually to create bonding among the founders. And how do you bond them together is to introduce a challenge, right? Put them through a challenge for them to work together, then they'll bond, right? And here, in this trip, it was the same, right? Except that this was engineered by God, right? Because of the challenges, we came together, we worked together, and we bond, right? I like what Daniel said when he shared about the pill incidents, right? He said that, despite he lost the pill and all the issues, he actually said that all these are precious memories, right? That indeed, precious memories that we will never forget and we will always cherish. That's why I said these were, in fact, blessings, even though this appears to be something negative. Wow, I need to run faster. Okay, so I don't have time, or should I skip to the next time? Okay, let me continue. So I just want to touch on this topic, which is by this trainer, Dr. Jasmine Birdsall, in one of the workshops. She was covering the topic on from every tribe, every tongue, and every nation, right? Let me forward. Okay, so I hope you can see her slides. This is one of the slides that from her teaching. Essentially, she was touching on the topic of unity and diversity. And she brought up a very interesting point. She was saying that most churches often overlook the distribution of demographics within the congregations, which may potentially result in unhappiness and conflicts. And I remember after the session, the three of us were discussing about this. It was a good reminder that, but we thought, as we analyze for 252 Agora, at this moment our church is relatively small. We don't see this as a problem for us because most of us we have more or less a homogeneous population, right? Race, nationality. So we don't really see this as a problem. But this topic got stuck in my head for many reasons. One of the reasons was this was, I don't even remember, but this was actually one of the topics which Joe and I were assigned to cover during the early formation of the church. As a matter of fact, this was our first assignment. So it got stuck in my head, and I, as I pondered about this when I came back, I realized that in fact there were diversity, even in a small church like us. Not just the church, but even just among the three of us, there was diversity. We were very different, right? Hey, this picture summarizes, or is a good metaphor, which I took from the Oxford journey, Oxford trip. So, on the left, your left, coffee is Silas. He's a coffee person, very particular about his coffee. Then tea is Daniel. And if you're fast enough, you realize the left picture doesn't have anything for me because I don't take hot drinks. Usually for caffeine, I'll go for Coke. But on this trip, I take ice cream. Again, what's the moral of the story here is we are made different, right? Which is diversity. And we need to be mindful and to be sensitive because differences can lead to tensions. It can lead to disagreement. I mean, think about it, either of them, or both of them, could be angry with me, right? Ah, this gun, why doesn't he just take hot drinks, coffee or tea? Simple, just pick, right? Why must he always take ice cream? Make us go and look for ice cream. But we actually turn it around to make it actually positive, right? So every morning, the first thing that we do, we run around different streets to look for coffee for Silas, right? Otherwise, he becomes a vampire. And then as we were running, if you come by an ice cream truck, they would then call me, hey, you got an ice cream truck, and then I'll buy ice cream. Right. So again, it turns out we were looking out for one another. I don't even remember this slide. This was a slide that I used in the early part when I was talking about the unity and diversity. So if you go, which is taken out of Ephesians 4:1-3. So if you read verse 2, it says, be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And if you go further down, verse 4 to 6, Paul emphasized the message of one, which is unity. So he said, one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God. I didn't time this sharing. Neither did Silas or Daniel knew what I was going to share today. It just happened that this topic was on my mind, right? And I didn't realize Silas was errant to cover Nehemiah chapter 3 last week. So if you all remember one of the key moral story or the key message from last week's chapter 3 is teamwork, right? Each of us are given a different skill set. God made us different so that we can come together to build the walls of Jerusalem, right? To build 252 Agora. Each of us are equipped with a different skill set to complete this whole picture. And I think it was Silas who said this, we are different, but our heart for God is the same. But managing this dynamics is not easy, right? Because we are different. And if we are not careful, it can lead to tensions, which the devil will exploit to take us apart. And just like what Dr. Jasmine in the OCCA course mentioned, we are one body, right? So when one part of the body is hurt, the entire body will suffer. Oof, wait, come back. So the instruction is clear, right? We need to unite as one. But the question was how. So the question on my head was, how do we do it? And I didn't realize this, but actually the answer was already inside Paul's message. Again, if you revisit the verse 2, it says, be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with each other in love. So the answer is love, right? But this is a special love. It's not a love that we know about. And incidentally, again, I didn't plan this, but in our cell group last week, our cell member, Kelvin, shared about the topic on love. And as I said, this love is a special love. It's not your usual love. I'm going to fast forward. Running out of time. And I will conclude with this particular verse that I think Silas used during the cell group. And why this is a special love. So the point I was trying to say is the usual love that we know about is, you know, you love your girlfriend, boyfriend, husband, wife, children, right? Which you will be happy, right? But the love that Paul talks about is different. If you go back to the scripture, right, he actually says, be patient and bearing in love, right? So if you remember the series on the fruit of the Spirit, when I explain patience is equals defined as long suffering, right? You need to, this love requires long suffering. And that's why he quoted this particular verse in Matthew 46 to 47, where Jesus said, right, if you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Right? Not even the tax collector doing the same, right? If you are greeting only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even the pagans do the same? So my sharing today is a simple reminder, right? First, we need to be mindful that we are made different. We need to be sensitive that each of us have differences. But just as what Paul commanded us, right, we need to be patient and bearing it with each other in love. Secondly, is that this diversity is designed by God, right? And if we come together in unity as one, we can actually become a very powerful force for the kingdom of God. Thank you. Sorry.
Check 1, 2. Thank you. Okay, man. So you can tell from the trip, I was the one who's suffering because either running for coffee or ice cream. There's no mention of running for tea. And I don't know whether Silas did it deliberately. Winnie, you never had a problem with B&B before, right? Airbnb. Every time it's all top-notch, right? Ours got spider web, got leaking floor, got everything. And the London the apartments, if you know those London apartments, all look the same, one row, ubiquitous. The staircase up is very narrow. It is so narrow that if you bring your luggage, remover the big one, the width, that's the width of the staircase, that's the width of the bag. And I didn't want to hurt my bag. I said, someone's got to carry it for me. Gun was carrying my bag. I was not going to carry my bag. If it meant that I'm going to leave my remover luggage downstairs, I would do so. Every day, bring up and then sleep and come down and then sleep and come down. It was because I got a problem with the bag. And then Silas will come tell me, says, okay, you're the boss, you decide which room you take. That's it. Okay, I give you the top room. But actually, I don't want to climb to the top room. And that's where we did the bath. Yeah, we had the same problem. It's like, you know, you're this jockey, right? Shing, 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 play the music, right? So when we were bathing, same one, toggle two. Really, the stupid thing was, you toggle one, two, cold toggle two. So every 5 seconds, and then you're bathing at that toggle, toggle, and then there's no glass cubicle. It's just a curtain. But these are the kind of baths you remember. You don't remember a nice Bali villa bath, but these are the things that I think etch in the memories. Next year, I want to make sure that some of us are going. I told people like Nyap, Royston, and Joe, we will send you. And make sure that, Silas, please make sure you book the same place for them. You don't go anywhere else. I say B&B, this is the one we want. But what a wonderful time. We came back with memories. Isn't that what bonding's all about? When we come together, these are the things that we remember. In the last month, lawyers always make the news. There's a 52-year-old public prosecutor. He was on holiday and then he lost his life. He's a Christian. Man United fan as well. Indian guy, Kanan. Lost his life. I won't tell you how he lost it, but he lost it. But you can see from the way after the wife came and talked about it, you can tell that God is in their lives very clearly. 56-year-old law sock president comes out, was it 2 weeks ago, to say he has cancer. And then, was it last 2 weeks, Elvin, the former MP, also lawyer, senior counsel, the youngest to make senior counsel, 37 years old, passed on, 59. I'm 55. Silas and I always say, if we need to go, we go. But if we're not done with the job we have, Sabrina, you will not be able to go. Yep, you think so easy to die? But when your time is up, you go. But how about we treat every day as if it could be the last, so that when you live every day, you live with conviction and purpose, you give your best shot, do your best. You're signing up today for dinner, bring the best wine, and later we'll just drink. But as we come before the Lord, understand something. God is in the house, and when we do something, it's always about doing the work of the kingdom. And some people struggle with baptism. I was just talking to someone, Joey, you get baptized, why? Because you want to tell the world that God is precious to you. And I was just talking to someone just now. Someone asked me, does that mean that after you are baptized, you will go to heaven? What do you guys think? Well, lawyers, there must be evidence, right? It's not so much the baptism, isn't it? It is, what do we see in the life of Joey or Jolene? Is there evidence that you love God enough? Is there something that God has changed your life so that when you come before the Lord, the parable of the sheep and the goat, you come, God says, you are the sheep. Go to the right. Oh no, you're not the sheep. You are the goat. You go to the left. Huge difference. Some people call it a terrible parable. Are you the sheep or the goat? But when you get baptized, and if Joey, you come on the day when you baptize, something changes. It's a transformation. You're coming before all of us and we are witnesses. Just like when you get married, you want people to witness the ceremony, right? So I think as we talk about these things, I hope God gives the conviction to all of us. So on 24th Sep, I think Joe was already said it, right? Cell leaders, go and talk to your friends, challenge the people. Those who not get baptized yet, please consider it. We're not going to force it, but it's a good thing to do. So 20th September, we will do the teaching. I think it starts about 3:30. Silas will do it 45 minutes and then come for service. And then maybe 2 weeks from then, whoever says yes, we want to do the baptism. So for people like Jolene who's asking me, 24th Sep, maybe 2 weeks down the road, 2 weeks from 24th Sep, that may well be the one, second week of October, whereby we'll do the baptism. Okay, so that's something we want to do. Today we have dinner. I want to keep it short and sharp. Go with me to Nehemiah chapter 4. And I think Silas did a fabulous job. If you go and toggle with Nehemiah chapter 4, keep your Bibles open there, mobile diaries or the hard copies, and we'll just dive right in. Chapter 4, and yes, last week Silas was talking about all the people who were building. Now there's teamwork involved. Make no mistake, God never made us an island by yourself, which is why the church consists of not Silas and then we need just the two of you. Otherwise, you don't need to come to church. But as you look at them build the walls together, there's something to be said about doing things together. And some of people don't want to get their legs hands dirty. Verses 3-5 last week, the nobles would not put their shoulders to the work. Would not means you categorically make a decision and say, I will not. It's a problem because they feel that maybe it's under, it's beneath them. Or maybe all along they've been the boss's IV, but when Nehemiah come, Nehemiah bucks the orders, they don't want to follow because they can't take it. How about some of us here? When we are so used to being a boss comes in over you and then you're supposed to follow the orders. A bit problematic, isn't it? But our job is to obey and to submit. So that's something that you need to think about. And then I last week I thought about it. I went to verse 3, chapter 3, verse 20. Next to him, Baruch, son of Zebiah, zealously repent. Zealous, not overzealous, Sharon, but zealous, enthusiastic, full of enthusiasm, willing, keen to do the work of God. When Gunn carried my bag, he wasn't overzealous. Who likes to carry bags? You really want to carry my bag? My bag very heavy one, you know. He was not overzealous, but he did it without compulsion. And I was watching him every time we go, you know, like some old man watching. When the car came to San Sanhedrin, he came to see, you need help with the bag. So moral of the story is, Royston, be careful. When you go next year, you're the only man. But when we help each other, God will help us. When Sambalat heard that we were rebuilding Wall Chatua, he became angry and was greatly incensed. Note the escalation. Next slide, please, Leon, thank you. Note the escalation of the enemies. Leon, can you go to the next slide? I want to just preface and say that if there's a topic to today, it is the slide before that, Leon, thank you. Envision opposition. God gave Nehemiah a vision, right? No pun intended. God gave Nehemiah the vision to build the walls, rebuild the walls and the gates, correct? But when you do have a vision, you must understand that when you have a vision, you envision, you expect, you can expect that there'll be opposition. Whenever you do something about, I tell you first, I can guarantee, triple, double, confirm, there will be opposition. Not everyone will buy in. You have 10 people, maybe 7 will buy in, there will be opposition. Have you ever done a piece of work whereby you say something, everyone say yes, they just follow? If that's the case, either it's all completely yes men, or nobody dares to say anything, or those people are deluded. It can't be a perfect job. But when you have a vision, you should expect opposition. And opposition can take two forms. Opposition can be internal or external. And later we will find. Here when Sambala and the rest in verse 1 and all those things we will go about, it is external. Don't even talk about doing a project. Let's talk about Royston next week going for a run. 100 miles, I want to run 100 miles in 30 hours. He will face two kind of opposition. Internal, the body may not want to run anymore at the 75th mile. It is internal, the lactic acid form, and then say, my son, the body talking to Royston, Royston, are you mad? You're 50 years old, you still want to run? That is within his body, within. But there will also be external opposition. My friend, my nephew just came back from New York. He tells me New York is hotter than Singapore. I imagine so. 30-something degrees. So there will also be external opposition. The inclement weather is going to, the sun is going to be, just whatever sunglasses you wear is going to help you. Whatever sun, SPF 50 or 75, whatever, D24, during whatever suntan, it will be searing. The opposition is from within the body, but also from the outside. When you do something for God, expect it, please. Internal, external. Two kinds of opposition. Sambalat is external. He comes and he says he's damn angry, he's greatly incensed, he ridicules the Jews. If you remember in Nehemiah chapter 2 verse 10, I will just read it for you. When Sambalat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite, they were very much disturbed when they knew that Nehemiah was going to do what he's going to do. That's in chapter 2 verse 10. In chapter 2 verse 9, okay, he then goes on. Next slide please, Leon. He goes on at verse 2:19 to say, when Sambalat, Tobiah, and Geshem, the Arabs, heard about it, they mocked and ridiculed. You will see the escalation sometimes of something you do. And sometimes when you're in office, there's politics, right? People start by what? Mocking you, ridiculing you. After that, they get a bit pissed because they don't get what they want. They become very incensed. And then after that, there's some psychological warfare. We go down this way as well. And then after that, you still don't watch it, people become violent. Isn't that how wars start? And wars don't have to be people take arms, no? But war in the office could be war, as in, if you know what I mean, two teams take strikes. But that is how sometimes there's escalation. I always got a friend, I used to have a friend, he always, whenever he wants to ridicule me, he will say in Hokkien, "Lizuo si mi! Jo lizuo si mi! Ni zuo se mo! Ni zuo me guai ye! Apa ini? Apa macam?" That is ridicule. People asking you, what are you doing? Isn't that verse 2:19? 2:19 says, what is this you are doing? Look, when you read the Bible, it doesn't give you the tone. But can you read the tone? 2:19, what is this you are doing? Is that the right tone? Or is it, what is this you are doing? Politely, or what is this you are doing? Very sarcastic, very condescending. Don't you think so? Ridiculing, mocking you. 2:19 says that, what is this you are doing? Are you rebelling against the king? You guys asking for trouble? Gun? Silas already said, don't do this thing. You still do? What is this you are doing? That is 2:19. And then you go to chapter 4, verse 1. He ridiculed the Jews, and in the presence of the associates and the army of Samaria. Sambalat is the governor of Samaria. The Samaritans and the Jews don't get along. They are the traditional enemies, right? That's why we have this problem with the good Samaritans. The Samaritans and the Jews don't get along. Which is why he said this parable of the good Samaritan. Because the good Samaritan is not supposed to help the Jew. They are always in loggerheads, but this guy here says, in the presence of his associates in the army, he being governor, he says, what are these people Jews doing? Will they restore the wealth? Will they restore the world? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life from the heaps of rubble, burned as they are? These are people who are mocking you. And I want to tell you sometimes when people mock you. When people mock you, know something. Number one, what they say about you may not be true. Is it okay? When people mock you, when I want to mock you, actually I don't need to get my facts right. I just throw all accusation at Royston. Hey Royston, you this, you that. But actually it may not be true. So why do you have to accept whatever they say? So when people mock you, number one, do you even know whether what they say against you is factually correct or not? It may not be correct. If I call Sabrina names, actually it may not be true. Look at what they're saying here. Will they restore the world? Will they offer sacrifice? Will they finish it? Can they bring the stones back to life from the heaps of rubble, burned as they are? Listen to me. The stones burnt, they can be recycled. They can be good building material. It doesn't mean that the stones, even if they have been burnt, it's not recyclable, it's not useful. Get it? So that's already something that you need to think about. In, for example, verse 3, Tobiah says, what are they building? Even the fox climbing on it will break down the wall of stone, seemingly suggesting the walls are brittle. It is very low. But guess what? Verse 4, verse 3, even the fox climbing on it will break down the walls of stones. The walls, I'll have you know, is 9 inch thick. And the entire length of, I like Silas's, that wall diagram, I think it's at least 2.5 miles. So why would you have to listen to this guy? He doesn't know what he's talking about. So when people ridicule us, when people call us names, fact check, it may not be true to begin with. And if I'm going to call you names, you think I'm going to check everything? I just call you names. I'll just call you names. I just want to break you down. But some of the things I say, and we need to learn the marketplace, may not be true. So why do you get so bothered by it? People call me names all the time. People leave the chats I start. People PM someone and they say, hey Daniel, this person spoke to me. I have it all the time. In your position of leadership, hey friends, take it from me. It comes all the time. Is it not? In school, when you're a teacher, won't there some teacher to you, hey, the students say this, whatever. Parents call you up. Teachers all the time, parents call. That's life for you, my friend. What is your response? When you have all the ways and you know your enemies are escalating, what's the response? The response is found in verse 4. Hear us, O God, for we are despised. Turn their insults back on their own heads. Give them over as plunder in the land of captivity. Do not cover up their guilt or blot out their sins from your sight, for they have thrown insults in the face of the builders. So when these people are ridiculed, when Nehemiah and the Jews are ridiculed, what do they do? You know sometimes what we need to do? or what we always do when people call you names, what do you do? Definitely, if I call you names, what do you do? No, what you say is not true. What did Nehemiah do here? He did not talk to the people who taunt them. Are you hearing me? Did he go back and say, let's say, Cheryl, I call you, what do you do? Hey, Daniel, I think what you say is wrong. Tomorrow by 7 a.m, I'll give you a reply email. 25-point rebut. What's the point? Why don't you take the time to go and pray to God? Are you with me? Isn't there some wisdom here? Nehemiah did not respond to the taunts because he knew the taunts, T-A-U-N-T-S, was spiritual warfare, and half of the things they said were not true anyway. Are you with me? No need to respond to some of the people who call us names. Ling, got people call you names in the bank? I hope not. I have it all the time. Judge may call me names. Lawyers on the other side may call me names. Clients can call me names. Relatives of clients can call me names. I got all kinds of people who can call me all kinds of names. I always just tell myself, as long as I do my job, my conscience is clear. I do my best. If I need to explain, I know I need to explain to someone, this point I'll explain. But if people are just taunting you, radically mocking you, where's the wisdom? The wisdom is praying to God. Verse 4 says, hear us, O God, for we are despised. So what is the recourse of Nehemiah? Nehemiah is a praying person, also a man of action. He goes into prayer to go to defensive mode. He asks God to help. Next slide, please. What does he do? He asks God to help and he asks him to hear our prayers. And after that, what does he do? After that, he goes on to say, do not cover up their guilt or blot out their sins from your sight, for they have thrown insults in the face of the builders. Verse 6 is key. After hearing that, after praying, did he say, stand down? Okay, builders, we're all so hurt. Let's rest for a while. Let's not build anymore. We're all so insulted. People are calling us names. Let's take a break. Let's go to Oxford for a staycation and go Bali for a while. After that, we come back. Did they do anything of that? What did they do? Verse 6, the word key. So we rebuild the wall till all of it reach half its height. That's the response. When people ridicule you, you don't stop the work. In fact, you don't break pace. You don't take a break. You just carry on. You do not lose heart. You do not lose heart. Why? Because the people worked with all their heart. Verse 6. So is key. In response to the taunt, what do? They pray to God. And after praying to God, what do? Joey? They immediately went back to work. The word so tells you. So in response to the taunt, they prayed to God, so we rebuilt the wall. And the people worked with all their heart. No letting down of pace, no wallowing in self-pity, proceed as usual. That's exactly what they did. Verse 7, I'll read for you. Next slide, please, Leon. These people were obviously not very happy. Charles Swindoll says, when verse 6, we mention the words, worked with all their heart. Charles Swindoll is the one that says, it is the heart where you are. Charles Swindoll, great man of God. It is there that your character is formed. How do you form someone's character? You don't form someone's character in the mind. You form the parent's character in the heart. When do you have a chance to mold the character? When challenges come, when difficulties come, the character is formed. It is there, the heart. That's where your character is formed. When you go through drudgery, when you go through difficulties, when the bathroom is leaking, when someone tells you, can you please help? When you do this, do that. I was at MGS, dropping my girl. Usual car park, drop my daughter, tell her I move a bit further. Some car, don't know, hit all those, what's that? Pythons, is it? Or the pylons to block the car. Someone drove over it, and then drove over it. The thing got stuck underneath. Cannot move forward, cannot move back. A Mercedes some more. Cannot move forward, cannot move back. Then, you know the kind of people, you know, there's some drivers like that. I think my sister also, not this one, another one. You know, sometimes when in some car parks, there's all these, two car parks back to back, there's a sort of a latch in between. People don't see it, they just go, right? They're not stuck. Stuck, cannot move, cannot back. So one couple, won't mention it, I don't know who they are, look and say, oh yeah, stuck. Did nothing, oh yeah. Tell the auntie came out, driving a Mercedes, looks a bit lost, and doesn't look very fit, 60-something or whatever. So, oh, look, then I come out. I say, oh, stuck ah. Let's have a look, can't move it. Can you move forward? Cannot. Can you move back? Cannot. Is your car on neutral? Okay, neutral. Don't touch. I, uncle, went down there, went underneath, go there, crawl underneath, take out the thing. They say, auntie, now can already go, auntie. Now can move already. Thank you very much. An art teacher from MGS. If my daughter do art, she'll get 100. No need to talk so much. Just do the work. Don't just say, oh, Joey, so poor thing, but do nothing. Is that what God wants? Oh, Royston, so poor thing, so poor thing. Oh, the 75th mount, you need water. Oh, so poor thing. Give him the water, lah, friend. Or do we help people or do we just talk? And the best part is I did that in front of my daughter. Score some points with her friends. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? Repair the wall. Take out things. Get your hands dirty. But when Sambala, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the people, verse 7, heard that the repairs had gone ahead and the gaps were being closed, they were now really pissed. Verse 8, they all plotted together and fight and stir up trouble. What is the response? So now escalation, they are proceeding to say, we will get violent. Verse 9, but what's the response again? We prayed to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet this threat. Guys, please don't be hearing me to say, whenever there's trouble, pray and do nothing else. That's not the point. Pray and also do something. Here, what do? They pray and they posted a guard. Next slide, please. Go on. Next slide. It is normal to be discouraged. Despite all the things said, you press on, you will be discouraged. And in verses 10 to 12, you see the people in Judah, they were getting a bit discouraged. One of them says, the strength of the laborers is giving out. Verse 10, there's so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall. Verse 11 says, also our enemy said, before they know it or see us, meaning the enemy said, Esther, you watch, before you even know it, I'll be right here behind you and I'll kill you and put your end to the work of repairing the wall. I tell you first, you do right your way, I will kill you. I am the Ammonite. Don't play me. My name is Tobiah. With this kind of name, sounds like enemy, right? Then the Jews who lived near them came and told us 10 times over, whenever you turn, they will attack us. I want you to look at all the various discouraging tools. Verse 10, interesting. Meanwhile, the people in Judah said, the strength of the laborers is building, is giving out, and there's so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall. Last week, Silas talked about the dung gate, right? And the rubble. Clear shit. Always tell people in my office, I clear shit all the time. People shit. People clear. People pay me to clear the shit. The problem in verse 10 is when you don't watch it, your focus is on the rubble, but you forget you're building the wall. But to build a wall, you must first get the rubble. Make sense? Look at the rubble to be built. No, look at the wall that's to be built. But before you can even do building the wall, get rid of the rubble. But sometimes when we see the rubble, and the rubble can be your own life. Some of us, our life is in a mess. The rubble needs to be cleared. But when you, in so fast trying to clear the rubble, be it spiritual rubble or physical rubble, you already get discouraged. Guys, don't look at the rubble. Look at the wall. But you first need to clear the rubble and then you can build the wall. Is that okay? Verse 10. That's my response to verse 10. Look at the wall. Don't look at the rubble. Verse 10. Verse 11. Before they know you see us, we'll be right here among you and I'll kill you and put an end to the world. That's classic, right? Telling you I'm going to kill you. That one, I've got not too much to say. Verse 12. Then the Jews who lived near them came and told us 10 times over, whenever you turn, they will attack us. Who is telling you? These are the Jews who came and tell you. We are all brother. I tell you, Owen got problem, no? Because Silas the Ammonite is going to come. He say, I will come. And I tell you 10 times. Sometimes the things we say are not very helpful. Is there a need for me to go and tell Owen 10 times over whatever Silas the enemy is going to say? Is there a need? We have to ask ourselves, do we participate in rumor mongering? Sometimes the things we do, yet you're feeding to the bad news or the inadequate news. Are you with me? Is there a need? No need to add on to the fire. You already have a tough enough time doing the repairs. So may we all exercise wisdom. No need to add on. Sometimes office politics, you know how it happens? Because people keep talking. Nothing to do, right? Keep talking. And can I just tell you, most of the time when we talk about news, right? I got a friend, I got a question for you. Do you talk about things that are newsworthy? Is it all things be equal, good news or bad news? When you do channels 5, 9 o'clock news, da, 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 when they give all the snippets, all things equal, is it more good news or bad news? Answer? Bad. Oh, on 9 tonight, Australia has the bushfire hit 45 degrees. On news 5 tonight, Newcastle Crown Court sentenced Singaporean man for smothering the wife to a life sentence, payroll only after 12 and a half years. It is always the bad news that captures your vision. So do we need to keep talking about the bad news? Ivy, the gospel of the good news, not the gospel of the bad news. Bad news, no need to tell. You can read for yourself if you want to. But can we focus? Verse 12 is classic of people rumor mongering and telling people things that perhaps you should not have to tell so much. Look at God for encouragement. Next slide, please. Leon, thank you. Verse 10 to 12, spiritual warfare. I submit to you. All different classes and categories of discouragement, as you can see for yourself. Okay? But what is the response that we need to have? And Nehemiah takes the lead again. Verse 14, after I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your family, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your homes. Classic Nehemiah again. Don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord. Who is the Lord? Great and awesome. Remember when I first started this series, I said chapter 1 verse 5, when Nehemiah first prayed to God, when he heard that Jerusalem in shambles, he said, God, great and awesome God. And remember I talk about the definition of great and awesome. Let me just get back to you. Great and awesome, what's the definition? The definition of great and awesome, the God we serve, as Nehemiah declared, great and awesome. Great in his wisdom, grace, faithfulness, and power. Awesome, awesome in his habit of exposing his servants to difficulties, dangers, toils, and snares, of which the God that we know will deliver you all. That is the great and awesome God. Remember, and we need to know that God is consistent. So that when you have trouble, you always go back. Joey, when trouble at a time, when the children are not behaving, you have a great and awesome God. In the army, things are not working well. In the school, whatever you're doing, the teachers don't like you, whatever. Great and awesome God. Great God, he's full of wisdom. Awesome, meaning that when you get into trouble, when you get into trouble, who will help you? God will help you. So you pray to God, and God says, remember me. Great. Remember him. Great and awesome. And Nehemiah, very smart. That's the politician kicking him. He tells the rest of the people, fight for your families, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. Isn't it? I mean, if you don't even want to fight for your family, I don't know what kind of encouragement you need, man. Baseline encouragement. Gun, fight for your two children, and fight for Ivy, and fight for your home. Silas, fight for Winnie, fight for your two daughters, and fight for your home. Fight for your family. Fight for your church. Fight for your nation. Remember the Lord. And guess what? When you do that, next slide please, he will fight for us. Verse 20. The work is extensive and spread out. We are widely separated from each other along the way. Whenever you hear the sound of the trumpet, join us there. Our God will fight for us. When we talk about God, what do we say he is? The Lord of hosts. That means there's an army that God has. You understand? There's an army. God is the Lord of hosts. God got his army, got his angels, everything. So don't worry. God is going to help us. When you tell people to fight, when Royston goes there and fight as a army colonel, but if he prays to God, God will also fight for him. But that is why it is classic, right? We always say, next slide please, 100% man, 100% God. Not this slide. Never mind, we stay there, Leon. It is always 100% man, 100% God. I want to now switch track in case some people don't understand this. If you go to verse 5 of me, I want to just read this to you. Verse 5 is Nehemiah praying, hear us, O God, for the depressed. Turn their insults back on their own heads. Give them over as plunder in a land of captivity. Some people will say, wow, Daniel, how come? Like that also can. Nehemiah is praying curses on his enemies. Anybody got any problem with that? If you're a Christian, you're saying, Tiffany, how can? I thought we're supposed to love people. Are we supposed to pray for curses, people? Isn't that verse 5? Nehemiah says, pray, turn the insults back on their own heads, give them over as plunder in the land of captivity. I want to submit to you, if you look at the verses up there in the slides. There's both kindness and sternness, right? Luke 23, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Isn't that Jesus said? But in Matthew 23, you snakes, you brood of vipers, how will you escape being condemned to hell? There's the kindness sect. There's the kindness portion of God. There's the kindness part of Jesus. Yet at the same time, there's also the part that talks about punishment. There's God, isn't it? That's why there's heaven and hell. Otherwise, where is that delineation and the line? So, in case people say, why is Nehemiah praying like that? I want to suggest to you, it is acceptable. Especially in times of warfare against the enemies that you know are coming against you. And actually, they are coming against God himself, because God told them to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem through Nehemiah. You understand? So these people are coming against God's agenda. Next slide, please. 100% man, 100% God. I want to end here. In verse 14, in verse 13 to 15, you see all the things that Nehemiah told the people to do. They took actions, they needed to do things. So when they're working, some people will be, for example, in verse 4, in 13 to 17, when all the army guys will come in today, look at this and say, okay, I'll station some of the people behind the lowest support of the wall so that people feel like there's some confidence, that people posted there with the sword, spears and bows. In verse 14, after I looked things over, I stood up and said to the officials, don't be afraid of them, and so forth. After that, even in verse 16, the army people come in. From then on, half my den did the work, while the other half were equipped with spears, shields, bows and armor. So all these defensive actions came in. The officers posted themselves behind all the people of Judah who were building their wall. Reminds me of sometimes how when we are afraid there will be terrorism attacks, you have policemen or people walking in, even in Orchard Road, carrying guns. The officers giving the confidence booster. Almost psychological, if you ask me. But don't you feel more assured when, let's say you are saying, oh, there's a terrorist attack or there's imminent danger, but there are people walking around, just giving you the confidence. So 100% man, 100% God, even as we see Nehemiah do the work of the kingdom. The word soul comes up again, if you'll join me again. In verse 20, whenever he says in verse 19, I said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, the work is extensive, spread out, but widely separated from each other along the wall. 2.5 miles. Everybody supposed to take a sector of the wall, right? But Nehemiah, very smart, he puts them into family groups so that Royston, son and daughter, all work together in the family so that everyone works together. Whenever you hear the sound of the trumpet, join in there, our God will fight for us. Isn't that verse 20? And then verse 21, what happens? Soul. The word soul comes in again. Just like we saw verse 6. So we rebuilt the wall. And verse 20, despite all the things that are being said, there's the threat of violence. Now people want to start war. All the remedial actions they do, all the officers put in place, people carrying materials will work with one hand and hold a weapon in the other, every builder wears his sword and at his side as he works. Whenever you hear the sound of the trumpet, join us there, our God will fight for us. And then verse 21, so we continue to work with half the men holding spears from the first light till the stars come out. Verse 22, at that time, I've said to the people, have every man and his helpers stay inside Jerusalem at night, so they can serve as guards by night and workers by day. Work by day, do your job. At night, be the guard. And I end with verse 23. Neither I, nor my brothers, nor my men, nor the guards of me, took off our clothes. Each had his weapon, even when he went for water. There was no off-duty. Standby mode. Nehemiah. I mean, if you're Nehemiah, I'm the one reading exhibition, I'll be saying, build me a nice tent. Aircon the place. Got problem, call me. Let me rest. What does he do? Neither I, nor my brothers, nor my men, nor the guards with me took off our clothes. Each had his weapon, even when he went for water. Not the best analogy, but I didn't know now, Silas. Gun don't dare to go and pee at night because he's scared he will wake the two old farts up. But it is when you think of other people. Nehemiah knew this. He needed to set the example. On duty, on guard, all the way. My book. Today, I'll end with this. This gentleman called Hon Sui Sen. Some of us remember him, finance minister. If you have your old $2 notes, Goh Keng Sui got his signature. I remember, do you remember Silas? Hon Sui Sen signed before, right? Finance minister. Top civil servant, after that, went to politics. In this ministry, his ministry colleagues were on the receiving end of his humor. Can be very humorous, this guy. They remember a particular incident that fully captured the superior Hon Sui Sen's persona. A performance report which had already been vetted through the bureaucratic layers was sent to Hon Sui Sen. But the minister sent it back with a note that read, "Approved, except for Appendix D4, which is either an aberration," he says, "or a test of whether anyone goes through these things." It turned out that Appendix C4, which is supposed to be the performance report from the Ministry of Labour's factory inspectorate, was actually a guest list of a function. So the fellow put in the wrong index. It came to the budget division. All of us are supposed to go through reports. Never see the thing. Went to the perm sec also never see. Went to the minister. It is the minister who retrieved the thing. And then he found. And he's the one who had the time to see. He was not in order. Hon Sui Sen is into details. Just like Nehemiah is into details when it comes to do the walls. Indeed, sheer greed complemented the lightheartedness. The diligence of Hon Sui Sen showed at EDB was as strong as ever at the ministry. Every day, he spent his lunch hour reading economic journals, at least 6 newspapers, to keep updated with the global financial news. He was very level-headed, completely unruffled. You get a decision very quickly because you knew his stuff. Hey, I don't know about you. When I used to work for senior lawyers, can I tell you a secret? I hate going to lawyers who can't make up their minds. And there are many reasons why people cannot make up their mind. When you cannot make up your mind, maybe because you don't know your stuff. Right? If you know your stuff, very easy. Oh, Silas, okay, let's go. Like that. Have you considered this point? You check this point there? You sure? You sure already? Okay, yeah? Okay, go. He was someone that knew his stuff. Despite being one of the top dogs in the government, he never put himself in the best vessel. I've seen many episodes in his life where he acted like the next man is as good as himself. Once his secretary lost her notes, instead of reprimanding her, Horn gave her notes to work on. He refused to sit at the back of his car driven by his SO, security officer, only beside him, so that he would not appear to be so grand in the back seat being chauffeured. When a high-ranking colleague shouted at his subordinates, and for this, I don't know about you, I repent. Sometimes I lose it too. I don't know about you. Lose it until you want to scold people, right? He will interject and say, "Remember this, just because you hate the music doesn't mean you have to shoot the piano player." My children, my wife can confirm, will tell me, "Hey, Papa, you don't work from home, cannot, when we are homeschool. Because when you work from home, sometimes work halfway, suddenly you shout one time, then the rest of us get distracted." Not Hon Sui Sen. Refused to sit at the back. Will only want to sit in front. A bit like Nehemiah, isn't it? He has every entitlement to say, "I know you'd be on duty," but he's the one with all the rest of the people. He would not take a step back. J.Y. Pillay, SQ, I told you about him. He was one of the mentees of Hon Sui Sen. A lot of them came under him, including Tan Amalan, J.Y. Pillay, Ngiam Tong Gao, Ang Kong Hwa, Fu Ming Tong, all those establishment people. J.Y. Pillay, I quote, "Of all the people," he says this, J.Y. Pillay says, "of all the people I've met in my working life, Hon Sui Sen is number one." J.Y. Pillay met a lot of people, right? All the people, he says, he's number one. legacy of a person in when it came to a time whereby he died. The unflappable, normally unflappable Lee Kuan Yew struggled to speak on that day, December 20, 1983. The usual brilliant orator, Lee Kuan Yew, was finding words difficult to come by. His characteristic and unflappable composure absent. Parliament House was in gloom as his members mourned the loss of an esteemed colleague. In somber silence, they listened as Lee Kuan Yew paid tribute to Hon Sui Sen, the veteran Prime Finance Minister who had unexpectedly passed away from a massive heart attack. To Lee, he was more than just a colleague. Their close friends stretching back decades, roommates during the dark days of the Japanese occupation. When Hon Sui Sen got no money, I didn't know this until I read this, he moved into Lee Kuan Yew's family home, studied Mandarin together when Lee fought to win over the Chinese masses in an unstable, self-gunning Singapore, and later confidants to each other as they oversaw the country's transformation in the modern city. When you go for trips together, don't you build a camaraderie? When we go through thick and thin together, when we clear shit together, when Joe and I and Silas and Gan or whoever else, when we need to settle some things, when we do this together. So for Lee Kuan Yew to just be so touched, it obviously meant something. Are we like Hon Sui Sen, minister, the late minister, a devout Roman Catholic? Are we like Nehemiah, who in complete humility will not put yourself on a pedestal, although actually he can, right? Does not, joins the ranks, knows the details, encourage everyone, and they work together for the work that is set before them. I want to invite the musicians to come. Today, as we come before the end, I'm also reminded that we have a dinner. We have dinner because we want to build relationships. So please later, don't for goodness sake go and eat and then share, or just sit one corner and talk to yourself. I forbid. Ah, kidding. Mix around. But it is when we go out for trips, we go to London, you remember all those Airbnb licking this, licking that, my pill, I don't so sweet, want to eat the pill, the thing dropped into the hole, cannot eat. These are the things that remember. Having to run place to drink for coffee, and then cannot find coffee, drink ice cream, eat ice cream. I'm the only one, tea, no problems. Very difficult people, but it's okay, God knows. But as we come before God, remember that it's the community, right? Nehemiah will never be able to build the wall alone. His job was to galvanize, to make sure everybody worked together for a common cause. When you do something for God, expect opposition. That's why the topic today is envision opposition. There will be opposition, but don't lose heart. When you pray, people ridicule you. So, the word so, you pray, you carry on. You don't break pace. You don't say, oh, I'm so whatever. You just carry on. And along the way, in the 52 days, I'm sure Nehemiah had not stated in the Bible, right? 52 days, he would have had chance to go to different people, sharing, how are you? How's the family doing the war? Are you okay? Royston, Tiffany, are you okay? All got COVID. See the doctor already, the doctor gun saw you already. The officer behind, look at you. You got a spear, your spear rusty, I need to change. All these things help to build the family. Is that not? So as we come together as a church, as we come before you, the Lord, let's remind ourselves, as Esther brings us to a close, we only can do this if we remember one thing. We have decided to follow Him. No one else. Let's pray as I ask Esther to just lead us to worship.
Us. You're here with us. Lord, even as we come before you, realign ourselves to you, recommit ourselves to you. Holy Spirit, I ask that come and manifest yourself in our hearts right now. If you're ready, I would like to invite you to stand up and worship the Lord with this song. Some of us, we need to just take this time, realign to follow Jesus. Some of us may be thinking that today you want to follow Jesus. The Lord's peace now rule in your heart, even to make that decision. So I just want to encourage you, wherever you are, tell the Lord, Lord, today, Lord Jesus, I've decided to follow you. I've decided today that I want to make you my Lord and my Savior in our lives. Just say this simple prayer to our Lord Jesus Christ, because He's here, and even that simple prayer, He accepts and receives us. Sing this with me.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Turning back, I have decided. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Turning back.
Do not go with me.
Do not go with me. I still will follow. Do not go with me. I still will follow. Do not go with me. I still will follow. Turning back, no turning back.
The world behind me,
the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, no turning back, no turning.
The world behind me,
the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, no turning back, no turning. I have decided to follow Jesus. Jesus,
I have decided,
I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back,
no none go before me.
No turning back,
no none, no none go with me. I still will follow. No none go with me. I still will follow. No none go with me. I still will follow.
No turning back, no turning.
The wall before me, the wall behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me,
behind me, behind me, the cross before me. No turning back,
no turning back,
no turning back, no turning back.
Can you lift your hands before the Lord? You know, when you sing this song, I'm reminded, even as Nehemiah started to build the walls, if you read verse 3:5, there were some people that were not prepared to build the wall. The next session was repaired by the men of Tekoa, but their nobles would not put their shoulders to the work under their supervisors. But you sing the song, Nehemiah was going to do it anyway. Though none will follow, he himself will follow. I urge you, as a believer, even if other people drop the ball, even if people say, I'm not going to do this anymore, but if God has called you in this church, in this cell, to do something, to do that job of rebuilding or repairing something, do it, even if none will follow. If that's your prayer, I want you to receive this prayer so that you have that perseverance and encouragement within your spirit. And if there's somebody, the Lord speak to you, the Lord bless you. Lord, I pray for my brother and sister. Lord, they'll be like Nehemiah. Though none may follow, they themselves, because you've called, will follow. The world is behind him, my brother, sister. But before them, before Jolene, before Joey, you see the cross. The cross where he hung. The ultimate act of sacrifice. So the Lord bless you. The Lord encourage you. The Lord give you wisdom. The Lord give you grace. The Lord give you perseverance to do his work. Even if none will follow, you will do so because the Lord has called you. So I pray for you, my brother and sister, the encouragement of the Lord, that even if people ridicule, mock, or call you names, or even threaten violence, you will do the work that the Lord has called you. Holy Spirit, authenticate what you do tonight in the parts, in the spirits, in the souls of everyone this year. Bless them so that Lord will stand out in the marketplace for what you stand for in the life. The Lord bless you. The blood of Jesus cover you. The work of the kingdom will propel you forward. We thwart the work of the enemy in your life. Do it for the work that the Lord has called you to do. We pray all this through the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you. Thank you so much. Before